Okay, I'm so pleased to be in this studio with Will Klinger and the Harvey Moshman. How long have we known each other? Too long.
Ages.
Don't say too long.
Well, you got to figure the mid-80s, right?
Yeah.
Easily. Yeah.
They are the brains behind and the talent on camera of Wild Travel, which is the... It's a new show, and it's been on for a long time, but it's Seed... is Wild Chicago, is it not?
That's correct.
That you were involved in that, Harvey.
Will, 14 years, yes.
A child.
I did it for 11 years.
Yeah. Oh, I know that. But it started with Ben Hollis, and then Ben left, and then you became part of it. And Wild Chicago, to my mind, is one of the, in its day, one of the cleverest television shows on any station. And I mean that... very sincerely. It was the way it was filmed, the whole idea behind it. I found it unique. Am I making too much of this?
No, unique's the word, I think. Will?
With a capital U. Yeah, very, very unique. And you found the unique side of Chicago. And basically, Wild Travels is kind of Wild Chicago on steroids. We go all over the country now. It's on PBS all over the country in 165 markets.
170.
And 49 states. You can go to 47 Spanish-speaking countries.
At this moment, yes.
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 Not all of them run it, but you can go to 47.
Right.
Remind me, because I was around, I remember reviewing it. Remind me how Wild Travels began. What was the seed of that?
Well, Will and I had both left TTW around 2003. Right? Yeah.
So.
I went to CBS and Will went to do some films and some other theater. And then after several years, we got together and decided we missed it too much.
Did you bump? Was it sort of like you bumped into each other somewhere and, wow, Harvey, oh, Will.
No, we've been friends all this time. Yeah. So
We had a dinner.
And I knew it was going to be a strange and interesting dinner because Will picked up the check and offered to take me. So, which is.
I don't remember doing that.
Yeah. Well, anyway. So we decided to pitch PBS nationally and said, hey, we've been doing this show locally for a while. We're just going to change where we go, but this is the idea. And they said, yes, not enough people are doing American destinations. Everybody wants to be the next Rick Steves. And we decided to take them up on that and stay in America.
That's about 15 years ago. Television certainly changed in 15 years. The competition, so to speak, has certainly changed because you've got YouTube. You've got all these other means of exploring the world.
Mm-hmm.
How do you keep on top of that? I mean, I find, and I'm looking at this upcoming season, which starts on August 3rd, these are all things I've never heard of. And I sort of seek out these kind of interesting, offbeat, I hate that word, offbeat, frankly. How have you been able to do that, Will? I mean, how do you do it collaboratively? Do you plow through newspapers? Do you plow through the internet, I suppose?
Well, the internet is just an incredible source. It wasn't in the days when we did Wild Chicago. You know, you had to get a lot of interesting viewer mail and comments from anybody you met in a bar or a restaurant. But for Wild Travels, you know, when we started this, broadcasting was the goal. It's not the goal anymore. It just happens to be the way we can connect the dots to make some money on this right now. But streaming is the goal.
You
got to
stream. You got to stream, right?
So we are on PBS.org, which is the PBS website.
Yeah.
And we're on there, so you can stream the show 24/7. But
you can also stream us at gotraveler.com.
Yes, Go Traveler.
That's interesting.
We're on that with Rick Steves and Anthony Bourdain's shows.
Is it potentially more lucrative than the old-fashioned way? I mean, you guys really used to do this with no money. I mean, it was you two and your cameraman sharing a motel room in some backwater somewhere.
You paid an ugly picture there.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, it sounded ugly. It sounded ugly when I first heard about it.
But we don't snore, and Dave Seaman, our cameraman, is a lovely individual to take with us everywhere we go.
This has been a three-person journey throughout. Talk about the camera work in this thing. Well, one of the things that ever impressed me about you and the show is you're not kind of Letterman-esque, where you seem like, you know, you're not, you are simply and genuinely curious when you meet these people. You were never out, I think, and I never saw it, to make fun of people who can easily be made fun of, I think.
I'm hoping I'm having fun with them.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
No, you don't want to. And I was saying to Harvey on our way over here, I think our show is kind of a palate cleanser for our troubled times in America, because we're visiting fascinating people doing their most passionate, what they're most passionate about.
Yeah.
And I love to meet these people, and I love to, you know, hear their stories. And these people, all Republican, Democrat, you know, every race, creed, old, young, but they're all passionate and they're very engaged in what they're doing, and they want to talk about it.
But it also seems to me that they don't seem to want to talk about it to get wider exposure. I'm pretty sure that when you come to them and say, how can we do this, they are genuinely moved, for lack of a better word, by the fact that you're interested in what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people say, oh, how much do we have to pay for this? You know,
really,
there's that.
And you never turn around and say, well, you have to pay us to do this.
We don't accept any money. Thank you. But a lot of places just had no idea that they are television worthy. And we get there and they see that we're having as much fun as they are, and it becomes a great piece.
A ventriloquist convention isn't television worthy. They must have realized.
They must be nuts. Yeah. Well, you guys think of TV in different ways than the people who run TV stations think of TV, I think.
That's true. And the ventriloquist convention, it was very special.
Where was that?
That was in Kentucky, a little tiny town near Cincinnati.
Just south of Cincinnati.
Now, we were scheduled to do that in 2021. During the pandemic, and they said we're still going to have the convention, but the ventriloquists will all be wearing masks,
which just defeats the purpose.
Which means I can be a ventriloquist. Oh,
exactly.
Oh, funny.
So we took a pass, and we said we'll come back next year, and it's a great piece. And we have Willie Tyler and Lester on there, and we have
the guy from Soap,
Jay Johnson. We have,
but also these unknown ventriloquists who are just love to talk about what they do. You know.
Wow. So how do you do it? Do you set up for this one, for this the sixth season?
Yeah. Fourth season.
But the first one with eight episodes,
right,
correct?
Right.
Do you do a kind of road trip and try to hit four of these in one trip, or what?
Well, we do the show based on where cheap flights are and where there's a very good festival at one time. So we home in on the festival, then we do sidebar pieces wherever we are. So this first season, first show is Running of the Tubs, which is a bathtub race in Hot Springs, Arkansas. So while we were there, we did a piece about their bathhouse, a piece about this guy who makes incredible trains, and so forth. And then in Little Rock, we did America's Only Purse Museum. So we package it all together, and then we'll go do another road trip somewhere, and then we spread the pieces out over the course of the season. So we're not in any one city for too long.
I've got to believe that it is not as arduous as it may sound, but it is exciting because you don't, you know, you're looking and doing your research from perhaps online or other ways, talking to people. But there must be a sense of excitement that both of you feel when Dave, the cinematographer, when you get to these things, because you do not actually know kind of material you're going to get.
We go in pretty cold, and you know, I might have a few questions in my head that I know
right,
I got
right,
to get
right,
to.
Right.
But basically, we hit the ground running. The cameras starts rolling, and we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what they're going to tell us, and we're not going to. How we're going to react. But yeah, that makes it a kind of a great gig. It's the best job I've ever had, frankly.
Wow, and you've had a lot of jobs.
And I've had a lot.
When we did Wild Chicago, typically we would visit the place without cameras ahead of time. We'd talk to people. But this, like Will says, we go in cold, we roll the dice. We don't know what we're going to get, and sometimes we don't get what we think we're going to get, and we still have to make a piece out of it.
Well, but actually, in reviewing much of your earlier work, and looking forward to this this fourth season, that gives a sort of an extra added, I think, punch for the viewer. I think since you are not deeply researching this kind of thing and you are doing it sort of by the seat of your pants, you don't know what you're getting. You don't know who these people are. You don't know if they're really nuts or just seem to be nuts or wildly passionate. That gives it an extra punch, I think, and that's probably one of the reasons all these TV stations across the country, except for Hawaii, want this thing.
Does this show go to Hawaii? Can we sort of talk to Hawaii right now?
Proverbially, 38 states in Canada, but who knows? I'd love to get it to Hawaii.
Sure. Honolulu notwithstanding, we go all over the country. We meet all kinds of different people, different, as Will said, different persuasions. But I think, you know, we talk to people. I talk to everybody ahead of time before we come. Obviously, I've got
to
make arrangements.
Well, you want to tell them you're coming,
And all that. And I get a sense of it. And some people, you get that feeling, oh, this guy's gold. I mean, Gatorland in Florida. This guy was incredible.
Tell me what that is, Gatorland. I'm assuming it's something with alligators.
Just a ton of alligators, and this guy just had a good story to tell about every one of them, and he was just over the top interesting. But, you know, we don't get that all the time. And then on the other hand, you talk to somebody, and they can barely put two words together, and you're worried, and you say, is there anybody else going to be there that day?
Sure.
We got to kind of hedge our bets.
You want a live wire.
Yeah. And you Will, yourself, who is interviewing on camera, you don't pre-interview these people, or
no.
do you?
No.
No, but Will does his research. I mean, I am often very amused that he has found out something about them going through Wikipedia or wherever about a particular thing that I had no idea that these people really respond to. They go, oh, this guy's just not standing here asking dumb questions. He actually is interested and has done some research.
I did my homework.
Right? Yeah.
Well, and you do. That's the thing that I remember distinctly from previous shows, and Wild Chicago shows too, is that Will Klinger is a very talented actor on the local scene here and some national stuff. You're not acting in this thing. I really got that sense. Maybe I'm being naive about this, but I really get the feeling, and one of the things that gives me great pleasure in this is that you're genuinely and sincerely curious.
Oh, yeah. And you're absolutely right. And how couldn't you be with some of the places we've been and some of the people we've met? I mean, I'm looking at this UFO Fest.
Where is that?
In Minnville, Oregon. Here are people that not only believe in UFOs, but, you know, expect to see one any minute, you know. And it's just a very fascinating to hear, you know, their perspective on UFOs. And that's got to be one of our best pieces.
These are actual abductees, people who have been on board. This is the, you know.
Where are they? I mean, I'm sure they're all over the place, but where are they for your purposes?
Well, they come to McMinnville, and you know, there's this, it's a crazy situation because they have like an alien pet contest on one hand, which is just very cute and charming. And then they've got these other people who are still, you know, they've got this look on their face like they're remembering and re-experiencing being abducted and probed and all of that. And they're in two different buildings, and then in between there's another parade. So it's a crazy event. But
quite a dichotomy. Some of the people they're taking very seriously.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I am talking with Will Klinger, the on-camera star, Harvey Moshman, the behind-the-scenes star, and Dave Seaman.
Who's not here, but we love you, Dave.
He works too hard to come and do these promotional kind of things. The new season, the fourth season of Wild Travels, takes place August 3rd, 5 p.m. on WTTW here. And check your local listings because it's all over the joint. We'll be back. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I'm back in the studio with Will Klinger and Harvey Moshman and Dave Seaman, who is the cinematographer behind Wild Travels, doesn't like to come on the radio. What is he bring? One of the things about, let's go back a little to Wild Chicago. Was he the photographer for Wild Chicago too? He was not. So forget who did that. For Wild Travels, he has a distinctive way of shooting. You guys are in TV. Describe it to me. It's not, I don't like the word, and I've seen it used, I don't like the word frenetic when it comes to camera work. I think it sounds jiggly and crazy.
Well, I would say that in the Wild Chicago days, we were often criticized for being too frenetic. And we used to say our cameraman's nearsighted and, you know, he had to put the lens right in your face. Dave is far less frenetic than that. Dave has a news background, so he is more inclined to have a nice steady shot and so forth, and then we'll move around a bit. But Dave keeps us level. He has a great sense of humor. He sees things that we don't see, and we're able to, you know, weave that all together with all of his effort.
Yeah, as much as I'm winging it, Dave's winging it. Because if he sees something out of the corner of his eye, he'll go to that, and then we'll have me and the person I'm talking to will have to react to that, you know, or you know, vice versa. If I see something and I'm talking about it, Dave will zoom in on that.
I'm calling that challengingly creative, because it is spontaneous. There's a spontaneity to it.
Oh yeah,
that obviously has ever appealed to you. I mean, one of the platforms, to use a political word, one of the platforms of the Wild Travels party is the spontaneity of it too.
Yeah,
and we have sort of evolved into using more GoPros when we shoot, and Dave is terrific with these. And interestingly, in the running of the Tubbs race, the audience or the spectators on either side of the main drag have squirt guns. And if you are carrying a camera, they will soak you. And we only found that out the night before. So we had to switch from our very expensive Sony camera to these little GoPros to shoot the piece. But it's even better, we think, now that we had to do it that way. But Dave is tolerant, which is a very important character.
We are all not children anymore, the three of us, and I'm assuming Dave is not either, but you guys bring to this and always have. That's why I cannot wait to see the fourth series of 8 episodes of Wild Travels.
I prefer grizzled veterans. Grizzled? Can we say that?
Grizzled veterans as opposed to old?
The three of us.
What did I just say, old?
Yeah. You said old. I prefer grizzled.
We're mature.
Grizzled veterans, but one of the great things about this is you do bring a kind of, with all due respect, a childlike enthusiasm to this show. That is what I've always felt about you, what you two do together, and what you did in Wild Chicago, and now what you've been doing on Wild Travels. How difficult did you think during the pandemic that this might not ever
survive?
Well, a good word.
Well, in the height of the pandemic, I mean, we had 6 shoots canceled. That we had, you know, all over the country, we were going to do all these things, and then the travel industry just was so unsettled that sponsorship was just impossible to get, and so we just sort of had to wait for that to subside before we could really get back in business, go back out on the road, and then find some meaningful underwriting for the show.
How do you do that? How do you get sponsors? Forgive my lack of business acumen, but how do you do that?
Well, you know, we do go to trade shows where people are representing their tourist boards and so forth. And we do have Sheboygan. Visit Sheboygan is a sponsor this year. And also the South Shore of Lake Michigan in Hammond is sponsored this year. But it just takes a lot of persuasion to get people to see that this is not a typical television buy. This isn't the kind of media buy that has Nielsen ratings that you can point to and say, this is who's watching the show. You know, this is because people want to be associated with PBS and they want to be associated with us.
How do you pitch the show? I mean, when you two are meeting a potential, if I'm run a bus company or a brewery, what do you say to me? I say, what's Wild Travels all about?
Well, we tell them that we're not a typical travel series and that we go all across the country showcasing unusual, offbeat, I know you hate that word, and eccentric characters.
Quirky? How about quirky? That? Quirky's a good word.
We sometimes say we're like Rick Steves, but not as funny.
Yeah, not as funny. And the response, I mean, for the first 3 seasons, when did the last season air? Season 3.
It ended last June.
Oh, yeah.
It was in reruns. It ran a second year. which we don't always do, but it ended in June.
Tell me about this Spanish language thing. That sounds fascinating to me.
So I have a distributor who puts our show in foreign countries and with other streamers, and they got a call from the VME channel, VME, which used to be part of PBS but is not anymore. And VME said, we'd love to have your content. We'll do all the translation and put it in Spanish if we can get the rights to the show for a year. And we said, sure, but we need the recordings of all the Spanish translation. And they said, fine. And it just so happened that Pluto Latin America at the same time was looking for a show.
Wow.
So Viajes Intrépidos, starring Will Klinger.
Does that mean wild travel?
Essentially. Okay. Is now licensed to 47 South American countries, from Mexico to Chile.
And they've done the entire first three episodes?
It's hard to get the specifics on what they've done.
Right, sure.
It's out there.
And Will, when you hear, I'm assuming you have seen some of these Spanish language versions of yourself.
It's a little disconcerting to see yourself. Your mouth is moving, and there's totally different language coming out of your mouth, and a totally different voice.
We are going to continue on with Will Klinger and Harvey Mushman after this. Welcome back. I am here again with Will Klinger and Harvey Mushman, and we were talking about the premiere of the fourth season of their really remarkable series, Wild Travels. Will's the on-camera guy. Harvey is the producer and co-creator of this whole thing, and Dave Seaman is the cinematographer. You two gentlemen, it's a bigger season than ever before. It's eight episodes as opposed to six from the previous 3 years. We've talked a little about some of the places you visited. Talk about some more.
Can I?
Yes.
We went to a place called Bath, Illinois, for something called the Redneck Fishing Tournament.
And sounds intriguing on the
this
face.
This is where these flying Asian carp are.
They're trying to keep them out of the Great Lakes.
Them out of the Great Lakes, and they want to get rid of them in this river in Bath because they're ruining, the fishing and everything else. So they've got this tournament where they catch and kill as many as they can. They've caught up to in a 2 hour space of time, over 400 flying carp.
One boat has caught, by the way.
Not knowing anything about fishing, how do you catch a flying fish?
With a net. They fly.
Like a butterfly.
You basically, exactly. the sound of the boat makes these fish fly out of the air. We have a clip from this thing. We got to get you to play.
And it's dangerous. That's the setup here.
Yes. I actually was struck by a flying fish, but
where?
I'm fine now.
Where?
I'm fine. I was not hospitalized.
Okay. Where were you struck?
In the back of the neck.
Oh, did it hurt?
And I was wearing a helmet, so it hit me in the back of the neck.
Do they all wear helmets?
Most people wear helmets, yes.
Visually, that's got to be...
It's crazy.
Remarkable.
It is.
It makes good television.
Did you fall down when you got hit by the fish?
No, but I was stunned.
Did you kill the fish? Did anybody get the fish and kill it for you?
The fish probably bounced off my neck and back into the water, actually.
That's wild. That's wild. Now, did people like that who are doing it for their own, it doesn't sound like, hi, come see this thing, but they're doing it for their own well-being, the health of their rivers, the health of their...
It is a noble cause to try to get
no question.
After the two-day event, there will be about 4,000 pounds of the fish removed. There's 30 boats. They each run two two-hour heats in 2 days, and they're just... they're just everywhere, and people come back year after year. They show their injuries from where they've been hit by the fish. If we play the audio,
you can enjoy this.
Dan, we may have some audio from this if you can find it. You want to hear it, ladies and gentlemen? I do.
Those carp fly like the Dickens.
They jump out of the water like torpedoes. You never know which direction they're coming from.
Sir, you got a broken nose out there, huh?
Yep. Non-displaced fracture is what they call it.
You just got back from the hospital.
Yep.
Do you wish you'd had a helmet?
I really do wish I had a helmet.
Look right here. I got hit. See that indention?
Oh my God, you got a dent in your head.
Yeah, you see it?
We were born and inbred for this.
And proud of it, apparently.
Absolutely.
My buddy, he got hit right in the face here, and he's got marks on the top of his
eyes. It's a badge of honor.
Oh, I guess so.
This face is my livelihood. You understand that, right?
Hey.
You don't believe it.
Yeah. Well, I guess you're not on radio, right?
That's for you, Rick.
Wow.
You're not already.
Wow. Young. Wow. That's so visceral. I feel like I was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that must have been wild and stunning. Obviously, you were hit after the
record. And it didn't hit me in the face, which is, as you know, my livelihood.
It is your livelihood. Yeah. You're an actor. That's fascinating. You know, the great thing about both of you, Will Klinger and Harvey Moshman, is the enthusiasm you bring to this show. Let me ask you another question. Again, the fourth season of Wild Travels premieres on August 3rd here in Chicago on WTTW. In the time you've been doing this, and from the time you were doing Wild Chicago, you know, I flick around channels, and they're probably 10 times as many channels as there were when you started your adventure in television. I've never seen anything like Wild Travels. I don't mean for you to say, well, there's a great show like it, but it's out of Germany or something.
No, we think we're pretty unique
I do too.
On broadcast television. There's so much that's just on YouTube and other streamers, it's hard to keep track of it all. But there's a lot of very interesting stuff that's being done out there. And people do it with their phones. You know, they don't need broadcast quality equipment to be a streamer and participate in this. So there's a lot out there.
You must wind up with a lot of video. Dave must shoot a lot of stuff.
He does.
What's the editing like? Do you do it together?
I edit the segments, but Harvey edits the whole show together, and he'll sometimes re-edit some stuff that I've done. But I edit the segments, and it does. It's very. But you know what? It's the favorite part of the job because
it is
the most creative and most control you have. You take 2 hours, 3 hours of video and get it down to 4 or 5 minutes. It's like a puzzle. It's like putting together pieces of a puzzle. And if you get it right and it works, there's nothing more satisfying.
You must have, that's very interesting, Will. You must have a huge and enthusiastic fan base by now. Do you hear from
Well, we get viewer mail,
yeah.
You know, and not so much from Chicagoans as we do from around the country. I can't account for that, but that's the way it is.
Well, let's be honest, Harvey. We have not done, because we didn't want to repeat ourselves, we have not done a lot in Chicago.
Right.
We only recently did this Chididerod piece, which is the Chicago's version of Iditarod. You may have seen it. You may have heard of it. No?
No.
Let me describe it.
Even I have not heard of it. This is like right up my alley.
Instead of dog sleds, it's shopping carts. Instead of dogs, it's people. And instead of the frozen tundra of Alaska, it's the streets of Chicago. And
when did this start?
It's been around for a while.
Dan Long or Rhett Jackson, have you ever heard? They've never heard of it either.
We've stumped the panel.
Mark Dvorak, have you ever heard of this?
No.
We are all in the dark about this.
Episode 3.
How did you discover this? Did you see about
honestly,
it in a paper?
I honestly think this is fairly well known. And
we're all a bunch of know-nothings in here.
I don't remember how I first came upon it, but it's all for the Chicago Food Depository. They raise money for the Greater Chicago Food Depository, and it's
kind of a bar crawl as well, by the way.
Yeah,
there's several legs of the thing, and each leg ends with a bar, you know. So I don't know how competitive it is.
That brings up an interesting question. And looking at the many things that you cover in season 4 of this 8-episode Wild Travels, it would seem that liquor would be a part of many of these activities, either before, during, not for you guys, but before, during, or after.
Well, here's the before part. The best ideas come from an argument in a bar that generates a story. Last season, it's the tug of war across the Mississippi River between a town in Iowa and a town in Illinois.
Uh-huh.
And that just started as an argument in a bar, and this has been going on 25 years now, and it's August. It's LeClaire, Iowa, and Port Byron, Illinois.
Yeah.
And They stop traffic on the Mississippi River. This is the only time you can stop traffic on the Mississippi River is this during this event in August. So,
wow. Yeah. We got to take a little break, but then we'll come back and talk about a couple more things, because each one except one of the eight episodes in this season three features a number of things. I mean, that's the other fascinating, wonderful thing about the show. It's not just one lengthy.
Oh, no.
I mean, I'm sure you guys are polished enough to devote an entire show to one thing, but the joy of it is you get boom, boom, boom. Rick Steve, I think, just goes to like one city, like here's Florence, and isn't this fascinating? We'll be back in a couple minutes. You can visit all manner of cities, ladies and gentlemen, if you tune in to the fourth season of Wild Travels, which is the work of my guest here, Will Klinger. He's the host, Harvey Moshman. He's the producer. You guys created this show together, right? You're both co-creators.
If you
right?
technically think he's the executive producer, I'm producer-host, but we, yeah.
It's a collaborative thing. Dave Seaman, the mysterious man, is behind the camera guy.
Where are you, Dave?
The cinematographer. He's probably resting after what you guys put him through. There will be these eight episodes starting August 3rd, 5 p.m. on WTTW. We've talked about a number of places that you visited. That the Will had been injured in one of the episodes. But one of the great things about the show, it always has been, is you put a lot into each program. I mean, it's not just one topic and let's interview this person for 10 minutes or something. It's
chock full of content.
It's a dense pack.
It's a quick hit. I mean, you hit these places, but you do a great job of. You know, as I've watched them, I see a segment and I say, okay, I've got it. I don't really need to hear the husband of the guy who does something.
I can't wait for Rick to see the Alcor cryogenics segment.
Okay. This is the most fascinating story we've ever done.
No.
Yes.
Okay, that's saying a lot.
Okay, so this is back in the 1980s when I clipped articles, when I'm starting Wild Chicago, thinking someday we may have a national show, and I'm clipping articles like crazy. So there's a piece in the Tribune about Alcor Cryogenics. This is a life extension facility in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Yeah.
So if you have a healthy six figures and you want to take a gamble that someday,
like Ted Williams,
before you die,
Ted Williams' head, right?
Just his head, yeah. You can have your body put in liquid nitrogen.
Or just your head.
Or just your head at this facility in Scottsdale. And it's in a strip mall near the airport in Scottsdale. And the guy who gave us the tour was fascinating. He was a cross between a mad scientist and an elegant spy with an English accent.
And he was a client. He was going to be...
He's going to...
He's awaiting.
Yes,
freezing.
Yes.
And he said he's just going to do the head. You've got a choice.
So you can be a neuro,
is the head. Is it cheaper?
By $50,000, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What is just the head then? How much is that?
At the time we shot this, I can't tell you what the price is now, but the time is it was like $100 for the head and $150 for the body, or it could have been more.
This is pretty fantastic.
We got behind the scenes. I mean, we went into the actual – I don't think they allow too many people into that chamber.
So there's the tanks right there as you walk in, you know, through this room. And in each of these tanks are several heads, several people who are put in upside down because you don't want the liquid nitrogen.
Because it's healthier.
I suppose it's healthier. And the amazing
thing is – humiliating, but it's healthier.
There's a small tank off to the side. What's that? That's for their pets.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Wild Travels is the name of the show. Many of you are probably fans from the first three seasons. The fourth season begins on Saturday, August 3rd at 5 o'clock on WTTW and at your local PBS stations across the country and in Latin America. Gentlemen, I admire you so much for what you've been doing and continue to do, and I'm so happy that Wild Travels lives.
So are we.
It's alive.
Not frozen.
No.
Take care of yourselves, and you can all read about this in your Chicago Tribune, too, if you get the Sunday paper.
And I do.
You do? You still get a paper?
So does he.
Good. Yeah, I knew you guys are good guys.